Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling, Dave Benton here. The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Dave's sitting in for Tom for the last 2.5 hours of the show. Want to welcome in from the Detroit Free Press, Mark Snyder. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good. You still have to play that music when he's not there?
You know, I think it's in the queue for him, and he hears it wherever he is, and it kind of, it's like a, you know, an alarm clock for him. So
okay, just making sure.
Gets him up in the morning, yeah. Want to talk a little bit about the enlarged Michigan Stadium and what you saw. Certainly looked gorgeous from all the photos and, I guess, the video tour you could take. Pretty impressive facility. I would guess it's there's nothing beyond it anywhere in the country. They may have an equal a couple places, but certainly facilities aren't going to be an issue.
No, it's spectacular. I mean, they did it, obviously, they did it perfectly. I mean, that was one of the contentions from the beginning. You knew that they'd do it perfectly because they're spending so much more money than anyone else.
Right. What was the total bill? What was the final price tag on it?
$226 million. And if you compare it, Minnesota's whole stadium, they built a whole stadium from scratch, outdoors, cost something, I don't know, north of $250 or something. So I think they're in the same ballpark, you know, and Michigan was just renovated. I mean, I think that everything about it is first class. I think they didn't make it obsessive. They didn't make it ostentatious. They chose brick, and that's what drove a lot of the cost because they wanted to keep it in similar to the other buildings on campus, and especially on the athletic campus, you know, like Yost Ice Arena and the intramural building, which are, and obviously that's something that's very important to try to keep the aesthetics, you know, comparable and stuff. But on the inside, you know, when they had every opportunity to just, you know, make everything maize and blue and make everything, you know, in your face Michigan, they didn't do that. And I thought that was one of the classiest parts of it. I mean, they have little helmet logos on the bathroom, you know, entrance to the bathroom or something like that. And on the suite levels, which very few people will go to, there's like little posters that are changeable, you know, in terms of tradition and stuff. But it's not in your face, and I thought that was really interesting.
So just to clear this up, so when I go to Michigan Stadium and I go to a football game, this isn't going to assist me in my problem when I get up to go get a soda and I come back and my seat is no longer there because everybody's kind of slid in and things. This isn't going to assist with that?
No, actually, in the future, that may be a little more challenging, not directly because of the overall renovation, because what they're doing is they're widening the aisles over this year and over the next couple of years, and what they're going to be doing. I mean, they'll be, quote-unquote, removing some seats, you know, taking some numbers away, but they have to make them, because they did such a large-scale renovation, they have to be compliant with the American with Disabilities Act, so they're going to be putting in some handrails in the actual bowl over the next couple of years. So that might be a little more challenging. But there's going to be better flow on the outside. There are more restrooms that they've put in. And there are concourses. So when it's raining and stuff, there are areas on each side where the people who stay in the bowl, the average fan who paid for just a ticket, can go and mingle and not be, you know, in the outside entire elements.
Mark, I've heard people say that the tough decision when they've gone to Michigan Stadium was which quarter did they want to miss, because it was going to take about that long to go to the bathroom.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a problem, and I think it's still going to be a problem just because of the nature of how it was designed. I mean, if you're coming in at row 75, and that's the exit to the concourse, and you're sitting in row 10, you know, that, I mean, part of the genius of what Field & Yost did was to make it a bowl that was sucking into the earth so it didn't, you know, appear to be this monstrous stadium that overwhelmed everything in its, you know, surroundings.
Right.
But the problem with that is that people have to, you know, take some time to get down to your seat, and that's a challenge. But I think that they've done everything realistically possible to try to alleviate that, short of putting in more exits and that type of thing. I mean, there's going to be better flow around the concourse. You know, the lines won't be as long, and you're going to be able to move a little bit better on the outside. But a lot of these things still have to be figured out, because every year there's been a little bit more of a renovation and more of an adjustment on the concourse. So in terms of the traffic flow patterns, that's going to take some time.
As in terms of ticket sales and things like that, how are ticket sales looking for Michigan this year? Is everything sold out at this point for all the home games, or are they having trouble selling tickets?
I don't think they're having trouble selling tickets. What they've done, you know, they have a long waiting list for season tickets, but they've held some back and they've tried to sell some individuals to make them open to the general public and selling them in various packages. So I think if you want tickets, you can still probably get them through the Michigan Athletic Department. I don't know if they're available for all the games. You know, I think that, you know, the Michigan State game probably would be a challenge. But, you know, in terms of the other ones, I think that, yeah, you can probably do what you want to do and get a seat, so whether they're a selected seat, whether they're, you know, one random. I don't know about that, I think. But I think that, you know, they have a long waiting list for season tickets, and they only, right. Their attrition rate is only about 2 or 3% every year.
Far be it from me to try to tell Dave Brandon how to do his job, but I always thought that one thing they could do was say, hey, if you want to buy tickets to X game or you want to get new season tickets, you're also going to get tickets to Chrysler Arena.
Yeah, I think that they've made those options available as well. But I think that, you know, they want people, part of the idea with Chrysler is they want people who want to be there. You know, and if you're going to be forced to buy the tickets.
Well, that would mean the team couldn't have been there last year.
Yeah, well, I think that I don't know if that's going to change either. But I think that, you know, when as you come forward and you enter there, if you're not going to show up to the games, then, you know, then it's just basically hurting them even more. I mean, they're getting the financial issues from it, but, you know, you're never going to be able to sell out a big game then because you're not going to be able to get people in there.
Right. Well, let's talk about this team and what Michigan is going to face. I see now that some people think Michigan has the toughest non-conference schedule in the Big Ten. I don't think any of them are really that excruciating, but Connecticut's a little bit better team than anyone would have guessed when this game was scheduled.
Definitely. I think that seems to happen to Michigan a lot. Appalachian State was a better team. Oregon was a better team.
Utah.
All these teams recently, you know, were better teams than Michigan ended up facing them. Utah, a better team when Michigan ended up facing them years when they're scheduled. But, yeah, UConn, I mean, some of the guys on ESPN have picked them to win the Big East. You know, I mean, whether that's going to happen. I think what they return, you know, a number of upperclassmen. They return the bulk of their offense, and I think that they've got and they have a coach who's really solid and has built the program, and it's continued to move forward, so there's no reason to expect that it's not going to continue to do so with so many returnees. And I think that's the problem, especially when Michigan still remains, they have a number of returnees on offense, but they still remain very young, and though there's experience, it's still young experience. So who knows? I mean, I think it's going to be a real challenge. I think people should expect Michigan's offense to just put up points, and I think that they will. I think that's the evolution of the spread offense, the evolution of putting 2 or 3 years together, you know, virtually the same cast of players and moving forward. I think the challenge, as everyone thinks, is the unknown of the defense.
When you look at the Big Ten schedule, obviously Michigan's got to get at least one win out of there that you wouldn't expect. Which team do you think that they could get it from?
I mean, does Purdue count? I mean, I don't know if that's getting one that you're not supposed to. But, yeah, I think Michigan State is probably a good option for them. I think that those teams probably match up pretty well. You know, and I think that Michigan will be pretty motivated, and they almost got them last year in Spartan Stadium. So I think that there's a possibility that that could be the one that, in terms of surprises, I don't know beyond that.
I think the Michigan State game is the one that he'd better get if he wants to be back for year four. And it would be interesting to see who the starting quarterback is at that point, too. Mark, thanks so much for joining us, as always. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, Jack. Thank you so much.
All right. We will be back in just a couple minutes with hour two. We're going to talk with Tom Dienhardt of Rivals.com, Dave. I know you'll have questions for him.
Oh, yeah.
And he, of course, spent a long time with the Sporting News. So it'll be interesting to get his take on it. And also, I want to ask him a couple questions about how journalism has changed in terms of the blogging and the kinds of things he's doing after working for a magazine. And it's really a different world out there, as we were reminded with the whole Tom Izzo Cleveland Cavaliers situation. We'll be right back with much more. Jack Ebling and Dave Benton. Give us a call, 393-3700, Jack and Tom Show.